Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram from Friday, February 2nd, 2024, Section A, State and Local News. Abbott authorizes half-staff flag flying in honor of Dan Corrales by Ben Schaefer. Texas Governor Abbott authorized that the flags of the state of Texas and the United States be lowered to half-staff position in honor of the late Dan Corrales, the city of Midland reported Thursday. Corrales, a Midland City Councilman, passed away this week at age 45. The city reported that Midland Mayor Lori Blong made the request of the governor earlier this week in honor of Corrales' significant impact and years of service to Midland. Blong wrote in her request that the gesture would serve as a symbol of the city's collective mourning and appreciation for his dedicated service to the community. Individuals, businesses, municipalities, counties, and other political subdivisions and entities in the surrounding area may fly flags at half staff for the same period of time as a sign of honor and respect, Abbott wrote. The First Lady and I extend prayers of comfort for the Corrales family during their time of grief, and we urge all Texans to remember and honor Dan's service as a dedicated public servant. Flags should return to full staff on February 9th, according to Abbott. UIL realignment. Legacy MHS scrambled to fill football schedules by Christopher Hattern. Both Midland ISD football coaches expected scheduling the fifth non-district game to be the challenge entering University Interscholastic League realignment on Thursday. That turned out to be the case, as there weren't many fifth game options when the new districts were released by the UIL at 9 a.m. To no surprise, District 2-6A remained the same with Legacy, Midland High, Odessa Permian, Odessa High, San Angelo Central, and Wolforth Friendship competing together during the 2024-25 and 2025-26 academic years in football, volleyball, and basketball. The same six teams were district rivals between 2022 to present. Once it was clear that MHS and Legacy would be in a six-team district, Bulldogs head coach Tad Fortune and Rebels head coach Clint Hartman had to both find an opponent for their fifth non-district game in their 10-game regular season schedule. There weren't many options. Only two Class 6A districts in the entire state shared similar numbers as District 2-6A, with District 31-6A having six teams and District 32-6A having five teams, which is unusual in Class 6A. Both districts are in the Rio Grande Valley. Because of District 31 and District 32 being close proximity to each other, Hartman said it looked like they were going to schedule each other. District 15A, Division 1, which consists of El Paso Americas, El Paso Bel Air, El Paso El Dorado, and El Paso Parkland, was the only league in Class 5A, Division 1, with six teams or fewer. Both Fortune and Hartman said the league would likely play two district games instead of one to fill the space. Anytime you are in a six-team district, you know the Week 5 deal is going to be tough, Fortune said. There's so many big districts with seven, eight teams, which really puts you in a bind. It's a logistical nightmare, and it's not over yet. We're still working on that. When you look at it, I think it eventually has to shake out, but it doesn't happen as quick as you want it to. We're hoping to kind of have the schedule done by today, but we're still working on that week five spot. Fortune said he has agreements for Midland High's first four games, which he will reveal when his schedule is finalized with a fifth non-district game. Meanwhile, the Rebels are going to play Allen, Euless Trinity, Lake Travis, and Abilene High, in that order, in the first 4 weeks. Both coaches are open to playing the fifth game in either week 5 or 6. District 2 6A play starts in week 7. Hartman said Permian recommended the services of a third party that has scheduled out-of-state games in recent years. The Panthers played Palm Desert, California in 2019, International School of Broward, Florida in 2018, and Bishop Timmons St. Jude in Buffalo, New York in 2016. Hartman said the costs of an out-of-state game organized by the third party aren't that much different from traveling to the Rio Grande Valley. "We're going to keep waiting," Hartman said. "We reached out to a guy that flies teams in, and we'll see what he does. When you're out here in West Texas, it's always a challenge to figure it out. But we're happy with our first four. We can play a game 5 or 6. We can take an off week whenever we want it. That's an option we're looking at right now." Hartman and Fortune say they are both open to playing out-of-state schools. Hartman has one exception. "I will play a public school," Hartman said. "I won't play a private school. I will never cross that line, and I won't start now." Class 5A Division 2 has District 15 and District 16, which are 5 and 6 teams respectively. Both are in the Rio Grande Valley. MHS, during the 2022-24 realignment, scheduled Class 5A Division 2 program El Paso Andrus for its fifth non-district game. "Everybody is trying to wait," Fortune said. "Obviously, a 5A Division II team isn't going to be in a hurry to call a 6A team, which is understandable. There is no need in complaining about it. It's just how it breaks. Hopefully, we will get some resolution soon." YWLA to play Class 3A sports. Young Women's Leadership Academy was not listed in the UIL realignment release for basketball and volleyball on Thursday. Midland ISD Director of Athletics Wes Torres said YWLA will play an outlaw schedule in volleyball in 2024. Torres said YWLA will have UIL-sanctioned sports in cross-country, swimming, and spring tennis. For more coverage, see Section B1 for more University Interscholastic League realignment coverage. Gas prices in Midland, Odessa rise by 12 cents, by Ben Schaefer. Midland and Odessa remain home to the most expensive fuel in the state as Texas gas prices increased this week. Gas prices in Midland and Odessa increased by 12 cents. The average fuel price in both cities sits at $2.96. El Paso is the only city in Texas with a higher average gas price than Midland and Odessa. After a 28-cent weekly increase, gas prices in El Paso are $3.22 on average, AAA reports. According to AAA, rising gas prices in Texas are due to rising crude oil prices. Crude prices were boosted by an unexpectedly large decline in U.S. inventories, as well as data showing a sharp drop in production last week due to winter weather. Market analysts with Oil Price Information Service note that conditions could favor even higher crude oil prices in the coming weeks. When breaking down the cost of a gallon of gas, crude oil accounts for 50% to 60% of what we pay at the pump, AAA reported Thursday. Regionally, a few West Texas cities experienced an increase to their average gas price, and a few regional gas prices dropped. Gas prices in Abilene climbed by 6 cents to $2.81. Fuel in Amarillo became 5 cents cheaper on average. Amarillo is home to the cheapest gas in Texas, with a $2.46 average, according to AAA. Gas prices in Lubbock increased by a penny. Fuel prices in San Angelo dropped by 5 cents. The Texas state average gas price grew by 8 cents. it sits at $2.76. Texas is home to the 7th cheapest gas in the nation on average. Follow the yellow brick road to the 2024 Midland Community Theater season by Morgan Taylor Thomas. The Yellow Brick Road paves the way to entertainment at the Midland Community Theater this weekend to open the local spot's 2024 season beloved classic, The Wizard of Oz, debuts Friday evening. This stage adaptation of L. Frank Baum's iconic tale features a musical score from the MGM film along with the twisty electric storyline packed with fan favorite characters. The show takes place in Davis Theater 1 and is accompanied by the LED wall installed in November 2022. Although the theater has produced The Wizard of Oz before, this will be the first time electronic set designs will be used, according to executive director Tim Jepson. The show also marks Jepson's last planned directorial moment. Note, the Reporter-Telegram will run a feature on Jepson's MCT career in the Saturday paper. Performance dates run at 7:30 p.m., Friday and Saturday, February 9th and 10th, 16th and 17th, 23rd and 24th, and March 1st and 2nd. As for February 18th, a 2:30 p.m. performance will be available. Tickets should be bought at www.mctmidland.org. Guests attending the theater should park in the lot on the right side of the building, as well as plan for extra time getting concessions. Construction happening for the expanded lobby and educational spaces has a majority of the larger parking lot out front and most of the lobby blocked off. Council approves agreements for indoor sports complex by Ben Schaefer. The Midland City Council approved a development and lease agreement for an indoor athletic facility at the Scarver Sports Complex at its January 23rd meeting. The sports complex, according to city staff on January 23rd, will be a multi-purpose 90,000-square-foot indoor facility. The city's contribution to the project is $275,000, which will offset development costs for the project. The city also helped plat the property. John Scarber of Midland Athletic Syndicate said during the meeting that the development group is already nearing $30 million raised for the project. City staff said that the developer had until January 2026 to raise the $30 million for the project. As soon as y'all say go, we're going to go, Scarber said to the council. Midland Athletic Syndicate President Austin Campbell said the facility will cost more than $35 million in total. Campbell called the indoor facility a cherry on top of Scarber Sports Complex. No council members aired grievances about the facility. District 3 Councilman Jack Ladd said Midland Athletic Syndicate should be celebrated for their extensive efforts in moving this project forward. Ladd pointed at the abundance of tax money the sports complex will create through additional youth sports tournaments that can be created in Midland. District 4 Councilwoman Amy Stretcher Burks said the sports complex will have everyday visitors and usage. My daughter has basketball practice tonight outside. Not just tournaments, but it's going to be daily usage with practicing and things like that, she said. District 2 Councilman John Norman said he was in full support of the indoor athletic complex, stating that these facilities will assist in creating a mecca of youth athletics in the area. John Scarber said the facility will make Midland a better place to live, raise a family, and do business. When asked, Campbell said attendees of the future sports complex would use the existing parking lot on the east side of the current football field at Scarber Sports Complex. The city discussed the possibility of adding more parking in the future. The vote passed 7-0 in favor of a development and lease agreement for the design, construction, maintenance, and operation of an indoor multi-purpose athletic facility at the Scarber Sports Complex. DPS makes more than 50 arrests in human trafficking operation, by B.K. Richter. A multi-agency effort through numerous law enforcement operations in West Texas has resulted in the arrest of more than 50 individuals for the felony offenses of solicitation of prostitution and 5 misdemeanor offenses of prostitution. The operation, according to law enforcement, was part of Human Trafficking Awareness Month, in which the Texas Department of Public Safety Criminal Investigations Division conducted numerous operations throughout the region. According to a press release, the goal of these regional operations was to target individuals seeking to exploit and victimize human trafficking victims and to identify and apprehend individuals suspected of being involved in human trafficking by using various websites to solicit sexual acts. The investigation included multiple agencies, including the Texas Department of Public Safety, Intelligence and Counterterrorism, Texas Highway Patrol, Homeland Security Investigations, the Midland Police Department, the Odessa Police Department, the Midland County Sheriff's Office, the Monahans Police Department, the San Angelo Police Department, the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, the El Paso Police Department, the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, the Army Criminal Investigations Division, the U.S. Border Patrol, with the support of the El Paso County Border Prosecution Unit, and the Texas Anti-Gangs. As a result of these operations, these subjects were arrested for solicitation of prostitution, a state jail felony. Only the names of those from Midland or Odessa will be read. Haysham Phillips, 41, Midland. Gilberto Hernandez, 30, of Midland. Alex Garcia, 30, Midland. Justo Munoz Jr., 28, Odessa. Russell Ferris Jr., 54, Odessa. Ascari Parra, 41, Odessa. Andrew Birding, 38, Midland. Andrew Molinar, 31, Odessa. Angel Ramos, 23, Midland. Ray Nunez, 45, Midland. Eric White, 44, Midland. Newell Johnston, 45, Odessa. Jay Sines, 19, Midland. Caleb Huntley, 28, Midland. Raymond Mendoza, 51, Midland. Michael Brown, 52, Odessa. Ryan Montes, 34, Midland. And John Hasso, 39, Midland. This is a very successful operation due to the outstanding collaboration of multiple agencies working toward combating human trafficking, said DPS West Texas Regional Director Jose Sanchez. Human trafficking is on the rise, and we need the community's assistance in reporting human trafficking. If you see something, please say something. In addition to the more than 50 arrests made for the solicitation of prostitution, one subject from Lubbock was arrested for a misdemeanor offense of prostitution. In Midland County, DPS special agents worked jointly with Homeland Security Investigations, the Odessa Police Department, and the Midland Police Department on a human trafficking operation that targeted massage parlors. According to authorities, the goal was to target massage parlors suspected of participating in prostitution to locate human trafficking victims or suspects. The operation resulted in the arrest of 4 suspects for the misdemeanor offense of prostitution. One suspect was arrested for operating without a massage license, also a misdemeanor offense. The investigations by federal, local, and state law enforcement agencies show the partnership of these agencies working to combat human trafficking. If you are a victim of human trafficking or have information about this type of criminal activity, please contact the National Human Trafficking Hotline at 888-373-7888. Remember, you can also report suspicious behavior through the iWatch Texas program via the mobile app online at www.iwatchtx.org or by calling 1-844-643-2251. All reports are considered to be confidential. Railroad Commission Successfully Plugs Crane County Well by Mella McEwen. A project that began in December finally reached completion, the Railroad Commission reported. The agency said this week it had completed a well that had uncontrolled water flow in Crane County that began in December. Inspectors in West Texas were dispatched within hours of the water flow being reported, and construction almost immediately began on lined pits and berms to contain the flow and protect any threat to fresh water. The water flow stopped on January 21st. The well is now cased and cemented, and fresh water zones are protected. The agency has done extensive research, and the well is not on any commission records, indicating no evidence that this is an oil and gas well. Water sampling further suggests this may not have been an oil and gas well. The water sample had high salt content, which would not be surprising given the fact that the site is over the Salado Formation, which is a salt formation. Although there is no evidence to suggest that this is an orphan oil and gas well, the commission acted quickly to remediate the water flow in Crane County because the RRC will make every effort possible to protect fresh water in Texas. Commission officials are continuing to investigate the historical geological features in the area and working with entities such as the University of Texas Bureau of Economic Geology for potential assistance and understanding historical geology. A spokesman for the BEG told the Reporter-Telegram that researchers are in the midst of analyzing surface flow conditions in the region and will report their initial analysis to the commission. Obituaries and death notices. Lynette Hermione Foyle Irwin. Lynette Hermione Foyle Irwin passed away on November 7, 2023, Election Day. Hermione was born on July 10, 1935, in Bogalusa, Louisiana, to Lee Ethel Bateman and Herman John Foyle. Is preceded in death by her husband Gene, who passed away in November 2007, parents Herman and Lee Ethel, and sister Hope. She is survived by one daughter, Lynn Califf, one grandson, and two step-grandsons. Graveside ceremony and burial for both Hermione and Gene will be in the spring of 2024 in Bogalusa, Louisiana, at the Foyle Family Plot. Hermione loved and supported causes for children, animals, community arts, and U.S. veterans. Please feel free to donate to your charity of choice. Helen Zant Adcock. Helen Zant Adcock died peacefully on Wednesday, January 24, 2024. She was 86 years old. Helen was born in Midland, Texas on April 20, 1937, to John Bradford Zant and Annie Lee Brunson Zant. She is predeceased by her husband John Robert Adcock and stepson Patrick Rocks. She is survived by two sons, John Clint Hurt and Patrick Hurt, one brother, John Zant, two grandchildren, six great-grandchildren, two stepdaughters, Darla Nelson and Dina Buttenhoff, five great-step-grandchildren, one stepson, Tony Rocks, and numerous great-great-grandchildren. At Helen's request, no memorial service is being held. James Corbin Considine. James Corbin Considine, affectionately known as Corby, was born on April 19, 1946, in Kansas City, Kansas, to Ann Corbin Considine and James Leo Considine. Corby's legacy lives on in his wife Janet, two sons, Kevin and Chris, and his five grandchildren. Memorial services will be held at 3 o'clock p.m. February 10th at St. Nicholas Episcopal Church in Midland, Texas. In lieu of flowers, the family asks for donations to be sent to St. Nicholas or to the Alzheimer's Association. Cremation is under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Jerry Lynn Sims. Jerry Lynn Sims of Midland, Texas, passed away in Lubbock, Texas on Friday, January 26, 2024, after a valiant battle with multiple illnesses. Jerry was born in Kermit, Texas on April 25, 1948. He is survived by his wife Janet Marie Spencer Sims and former wife Judy Taylor, also daughter Kim Sims Chacon, and sons Steve Sims and Brian Trout. Jerry has two brothers, Doug Sims and Larry Sims, and seven grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his parents, Earlene and Earl Sims. Per Jerry's request, there will be no formal service. If you wish to honor Jerry in such a way, Real Thanks of Midland, Spina Bifida Association of North Texas, Scottish Rite Hospital for Children of Dallas all hold a special meaning with the family. Annie L. Samuels. Annie L. Samuels, age 63, of Odessa, Texas, passed away January 20, 2024. Cremation services have been arranged, and a memorial service is set for Saturday, February 3, 2024, at White's Chapel in Midland, Texas, starting at 11 a.m. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos, Sanchez, and Thomas Funeral Home. Norma Flores Urias. Norma Flores Urias, 64, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, January 30, 2024. Viewing will be Sunday, February 4, 2024, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Monday, February 5, 2024, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel. A rosary will be recited Sunday evening at 7 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass is set for Monday, February 5, 2024, at 2 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is under the direction of Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel.
Gang member from Texarkana added to Texas Most Wanted list, $5,000 reward offered by Odessa American, February 1st, 2024. Austin. The Texas Department of Public Safety, DPS, has added Marquise Jamal Richardson of Texarkana to the Texas 10 Most Wanted Fugitives list. Texas Crime Stoppers is now offering a cash reward of up to $5,000 for information leading to his arrest. All tips are guaranteed to be anonymous, a Thursday news release said. According to the release, Marquise Jamal Richardson, 36, is affiliated with the Loyalty Cash Business, LCB Gang, and has ties to Texarkana and Dallas. In January 2020, Richardson was convicted in Texas of engaging in organized criminal activity and subsequently sentenced to 10 years of probation. Several months later, he was convicted in Arkansas of two counts of delivery of a controlled substance. In June 2022, multiple warrants were issued by the Texarkana Police Department, Texas, for Richardson's arrest for robbery, engaging in organized criminal activity, aggravated assault, and engaging in organized criminal activity, money laundering. The following month, multiple warrants were issued out of Bowie County for his arrest for violating his probation. Additionally, in July 2022, a warrant was issued out of Arkansas for Richardson's arrest for a parole violation, the release said. Richardson is 6 feet tall and weighs about 245 pounds. He has tattoos on his chest and both arms. He may also be known by the nickname Big Kai. For more information or updates in the event and his arrest, view Richardson's Wanted Bulletin. Texas Crime Stoppers, which the Governor's Criminal Justice Division funds, offers cash rewards to any person who provides information that leads to the arrest of one of the Texas's 10 most wanted fugitives or sex offenders. In 2023, DPS and other agencies arrested 47 Texas 10 most wanted fugitives and sex offenders, including 23 sex offenders and 12 gang members. In addition, $111,500 in rewards were paid paid for tips that yielded arrests. To be eligible for cash rewards, tipsters must provide information to authorities using one of the following three methods. Call the Crime Stoppers hotline at 1-800-252-TIPS-8477. Submit a web tip through the DPS website by selecting the fugitive you have information about, then clicking on the link under their picture. Submit a Facebook tip by clicking the Submit a Tip link under the About section. All tips are anonymous regardless of how they are submitted, and tipsters will be provided a tip number instead of using a name. DPS investigators work with local law enforcement agencies to select fugitives for the 10 Texas Most Wanted Fugitives and Sex Offenders lists. You can find this current list with photos on the DPS website. Do not attempt to apprehend these fugitives. They are considered to be armed and dangerous. DPS arrest over 50 in regional human trafficking operations by Odessa American, February 1, 2024, West Texas Region. During January 2024, as part of Human Trafficking Awareness Month, the Texas Department of Public Safety, DPS, Criminal Investigations Division, CID, conducted numerous operations throughout the West Texas region. The goal of these operations was to target individuals seeking to exploit and victimize trafficking victims and to identify and apprehend individuals suspected of being involved in human trafficking by using various websites to solicit sexual acts, a news release said. Multiple agencies assisted in these investigations, including DPS, CID, DPS Intelligence and Counterterrorism, Texas Highway Patrol, Homeland Security Investigations, Midland Police Department, Odessa Police Department, the Midland County Sheriff's Office, Monahans Police Department, San Angelo Police Department, Tom Green County Sheriff's Office, Federal Bureau of Investigations, FBI, El Paso Police Department, Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, Army CID, United States Border Patrol, with the support of the El Paso County Border Prosecution Unit and the Texas Anti-Gang Center. This was a very successful operation due to the outstanding collaboration of multiple agencies working toward combating human trafficking, DPS West Texas Regional Director Jose Sanchez said in the release. Human trafficking is on the rise, and we need the community's assistance in reporting human trafficking. If you see something, please say something. As a result of these operations, the subjects below were arrested for solicitation of prostitution, a state jail felony. Sylvester Cherry, 53, San Angelo. Hashim Phillips, 41, Midland. Gilberto Hernandez, 30, Midland. Matthew Mabry, 31, Marshall. Mart Vaughn, 45, Mutual, Oklahoma. Jason Solis, 48, Anson. Alex Garcia, 30, Midland. Gary Davis, 54, Artesia, New Mexico. Jesus Barron, 55, El Paso. Justo Munoz Jr., 28, Odessa. Russell Ferris Jr., 54, Odessa. Brandon Phillips, 48, Piote. David Wally, 37, Liberty. John Nanez, 25, San Antonio. Escari Parra, 41, Odessa. Jacob Davis, 29, Augustine. Christopher Hammonds, 36, Houston. Shane Vincent, 50, Louisiana. James Flint, 39, Longview. Andrew Berting, 38, Midland. Andrew Molinar, 31, Odessa. Luis Valenzuela, 23, Woodward, Oklahoma. Angel Ramos, 23, Midland. William Caudill, 41, Elgin. Ray Nunez, 45, Midland. Eric White, 45, Midland. Agapito Avalos, 49, Little. Dakota Walker, 28, Delhi, Louisiana. Newell Johnson, 45, Odessa. Jay Sains, 19, Midland. Xavier West, 26, Shreveport, Louisiana. Caleb Huntley, 28, Midland. Raymond Mendoza, 51, Midland. Ricardo Finzor, 54, Fort Worth. Michael Brown, 52, Odessa. Ryan Montes, 34, Midland. John Jasso, 39, Midland. Joshua Moore, 36, Andrews. Yasser Antonio Albornoz, 30, 28, El Paso. Charles Anthony Alexte, 38, El Paso. Tyrick Javion Ricks, 20, Columbus, Georgia. Feliciano Lissandro Galvan, 25, Sirocco. Guillermo Gomez, 45, El Paso. Jose Antonio Gutierrez, 38, El Paso. Fernando Aguilar, 40, El Paso. Stephen Dion Howard, 48, El Paso. Javier De La Rosa, 33, Greeley, Colorado. Prince Will Wanakowai Arenzequi, 40, San Angelo. Marquis Keon LaShawn Adams, 35, San Angelo. Aaron Paul Nitch, 35, San Angelo. Henrich Braun Weeb, 36, Seminole. Denzel Tucker Hendricks, Sr., 32, Maumille, Arkansas. Michael Anthony Garcia, 34, San Diego. One subject was arrested for prostitution, a Class B misdemeanor, Israel Segura, 35, Lubbock. In addition, DPS special agents worked jointly with Homeland Security Investigations, the Odessa Police Department, and the Midland Police Department on a human trafficking operation that targeted massage parlors in Midland County. The goal was to target massage parlors suspected of participating in prostitution to locate human trafficking victims or suspects. The operation resulted in the arrest of four suspects for prostitution, a Class B misdemeanor, Gugu Lee, 58, California, Long Du, 54, California, Chong Mi Wee, California, Tirong Sao, 47, Texas. One suspect was arrested for operating without a massage license, a Class B misdemeanor, Nguyen Quinn, 53, California. These investigations highlight the partnership between federal, local, and state law enforcement partners working together to combat human trafficking. If you're a victim of human trafficking or have information about this type of criminal activity, please contact the National Human Trafficking Hotline at 888-373-7888. Remember, you can also report suspicious behavior through the iWatch Texas program via the mobile app, online at www.iwatchtexas.org or by calling 1-844-643-2251. All reports are confidential. Grand opening for James Segrest Stadium and Fitness Court celebrates new facilities by Odessa American, February 1, 2024. The new James Segrest Stadium and the Outdoor Fitness Court are complete. OC will celebrate the opening of the new facilities at 11:30 a.m. February 2nd with a grand opening, ribbon cutting, and an inaugural walk around the new Wrangler Blue Track. The new stadium project began with a naming ceremony and groundbreaking in September 2021, where Coach Segrest was honored and reunited with some of his former student athletes. At that time, the former coach stated, "It really helped our recruiting to have the good facilities that we had. I know this new facility will do the same thing for the new program coming back." He served as the Odessa College head track and field coach from 1973 to 1988 and the OC athletic director from 1988 to 1995. Segrest's coaching legacy at Odessa College includes 11 NJCAA national championships, all in just 6 years. As Odessa College begins rebuilding a competitive winning NJCAA Division I co-ed cross-country and track and field team, the new stadium will provide the OC student athletes a state-of-the-art facility for their practices and competitions and will meet the NJCAA, NCAA, and UIL competition standards. During the grand opening ceremony, Vice President for Institutional Advancement, Alyssa Cornelius, will recognize sponsors, First Basin Credit Union, National Fitness Council, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas for their supporting and helping to make this complex the asset to the community that it is. The stadium complex includes a grand entrance with box office, concessions, and restrooms, a state-of-the-art lighted track and field, terraced seating and picnic areas, grandstands on the east and west sides of the field, a press box, and a multimedia scoreboard. Adjacent to the stadium, Odessa College, in partnership with the National Fitness Council and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas, built a new fitness court, the world's best outdoor gym. Odessa College's fitness court is one of only 35 outdoor fitness courts in a series of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas fitness courts in the growing network across the state. The fitness court will be open to the public and is designed to provide a full body workout in only 7 minutes. The outdoor gym lets people use their own body weight to get a complete workout using 7 exercise stations. Created with people aged 14 and over and with all abilities in mind, the workouts are adaptable for all fitness levels, allowing participants to move at their own pace. Users of the outdoor court will need to download the free Fitness Court app, which acts as a coach in your pocket and enhances the outdoor gym into a digitally supported wellness experience. Attendees at the grand opening will be treated to a Fitness Court demonstration following the ceremony. Man accused of firing gun into ceiling by Odessa American, February 1, 2024. An Odessa man was arrested Wednesday night after he admitted to firing his gun into the ceiling of his home during a fight. According to Odessa Police Department, officers were on their way to a disturbance call in the 1100 block of Rustler when dispatchers told them a 911 caller told them the gun had been fired. When officers arrived, a woman told them that she was helping Justin Torres's wife pack a bag for the night when he began yelling at them from another room to get out, that he had a gun and he was willing to use it, the report stated. She said Torres then went and retrieved the gun from another room and approached her with it. According to the report, the woman said she grabbed Torres's hand and they began to fight. He then pointed the gun in the air and fired it. Torres's wife confirmed much of the woman's story, and so did Torres, the report stated. Torres was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and discharge of a firearm in certain municipalities. Torres remained in the Ector County Jail Thursday on a $27,000 surety bond. Tony says, why enrolling in Medicare Part D is important. By guest contributor, January 31, 2024. By Tony King. Tony, I was told to receive a shingles vaccination, I need to be enrolled in a Part D prescription drug plan for the vaccination to have a $0 copay or pay $200. I thought all vaccinations and immunizations are covered at no cost under Medicare Part B. Can you explain this Medicare rule? Thank you. Carl from Lubbock, Texas. Carl, on January 1, 2023, the Inflation Reduction Act eliminated all out-of-pocket costs for vaccines, which the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommended for adults. This important Medicare change went into effect whether you have drug coverage from a standalone Medicare Part D prescription drug plan or from a Medicare Advantage plan with Part D coverage. The shingles vaccine, also known as Shingrix, is included at no cost. Carl, I hope you are enrolled in a Medicare Part D plan or you will have to pay more than $200 per dose for Shingrix, which the Food and Drug Administration approved in 2017. Not being enrolled in a Part D or Advantage plan with Part D coverage is why you were told that you might have to pay over $200 per dose for the vaccine. It is important for those leaving employer group health insurance after 65 or enrolling in Medicare for the first time when turning 65 or before 65 if eligible, to be sure to enroll in a Medicare Part D standalone prescription drug plan with or without a Medicare supplement or a Medicare Advantage plan with Part D. Having the shingles shot covered with a $0 copay is an important reason Americans should enroll in a Medicare Part D plan when eligible. Those with a Medicare Part D plan can receive their shingles vaccine at the pharmacy or at your doctor's office. If you have trouble affording the Medicare Part D prescription drug premium, you may qualify for Medicare's Extra Help program that assists people with limited income and assets, pay premiums and out-of-pocket costs for Part D drug coverage. Page 50 of the 2024 Medicare and You Handbook explains how shots or vaccines, flu, hepatitis, pneumonia shots, and COVID-19 vaccines are covered under Medicare Part B. The handbook states that shots are covered under Medicare and that you may pay nothing for the shot as long as your doctor or other healthcare providers accept Medicare assignment. Always verify that your doctor is accepting Medicare assignment. Below is what page in the Medicare and You Handbook that Medicare Part B will cover vaccines to prevent. A. Influenza, the flu, currently the seasonal flu shot, see page 42. B. Hepatitis B, if you are at medium or high risk, see page 42. C. Pneumococcal shots, pneumonia, see page 48. D. COVID-19 vaccines and testing, see page 37. Under Important, on page 50, the handbook says that for shots not covered under Medicare Part B, that Part D generally covers other recommended adult immunizations to prevent illness, like shingles, tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis, and respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, at no cost to you. The handbook advises you, if your shot is not on the Medicare list, ask for a coverage exception and talk with your doctor about which immunizations are right for you. Part B will cover other immunizations, but only if you're exposed to a disease or condition such as a tetanus shot if injured by a rusty nail, or rabies if bitten by a dog or strange animal. It amazes me how Medicare can make a simple medical issue such as getting a vaccine so complicated. Remember, with Medicare, it's what you don't know that will hurt you. If you have a Medicare question, email info@tonysays.com or call 832-519-8664. Tony's new Confused About Medicare video series is available at tonysays.com.
New local Children's Miracle Network champion revealed. Every year, local Children's Miracle Network hospitals identify a champion to serve as the face of children treated at their local hospital. This year, Children's Miracle Network at Medical Center Health System is proud to introduce our newest CMN champion, Jaxton Minix. Jaxton and his family were introduced Monday at a celebration for him in the MCH boardroom, a news release said. Jaxton, 3, was born on June 12, 2020 at Medical Center Hospital, a CMN hospital, to parents Jesse and Jana Minix. He was born 10 weeks premature and weighed just 2 pounds 8 ounces. Jaxton had difficulty breathing on his own due to premature lungs and was later diagnosed with atrial septal defect, ASD. Jaxton was continuously seeking treatment for his heart murmur and the hole in his bloodline that leads from his left lung to his heart. Now Jaxton has been treated by several CMN hospitals where a genetic mutation in his 16th chromosome was discovered. This was called hypotonia, seizure-like activity, bilateral inguinal hernias, and ASD. The rarity of Jaxton's medical condition makes him the more special. It is because of Children's Miracle Network that Jaxton is now a happy 3-year-old boy with a bright future. Odessa Chamber of Commerce prepares for membership event. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce is hosting a membership event to kick off its 90th anniversary year, January 30th through February 1st. Leaders from all areas of the community will be gathering to help the chamber hashtag Build Odessa and grow the membership. We are honored to have more than 100 volunteers coming together to help our chamber build Odessa. As we celebrate our 90th anniversary, this membership event is a great avenue for those businesses, organizations, and individuals who are not current members of our chamber but want to get involved and be part of our community's future. Renee Earls, President CEO of the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, said in a news release, "This event will be full of fun, lots of energy, and good old-fashioned competitions as the 5 teams led by former chamber board chairs compete to sign up the most new members and bring in revenue to help out chamber carry out our mission," she added. Tuesday, January 30th, Shift 1, 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., Shift 2, 1:15 p.m. to 4:15 p.m., former Prosperity Bank Lobby, 620 North Grant Avenue, 1st floor, Wednesday, January 31st, 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., former Prosperity Bank Lobby, 620 North Grant Avenue, 1st floor, Thursday, February 1st, Celebration, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., Odessa Chamber of Commerce, Office, 700 North Grant, Suite 200.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report on the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, January 27th. Crane County, home to major battery storage facility. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Drivers traveling around the Permian Basin are treated not only to drilling rigs and pumping units developing the region's oil and natural gas resources, but drivers can also see wind turbines and solar farms, also part of the region's energy resources. Add to the Permian's energy landscape battery energy storage. Spearmint Energy recently completed Revolution, its 150-megawatt, 300-megawatt-hour battery energy storage system, or BESS, in Crane County. The project ranks as among the largest BESS projects in the U.S. Quote, BESS projects, like Revolution, are essentially energy warehouses or megawatt tanks that support the grid by storing and redistributing energy when and where it is needed most, explained Andrew Warrench, founder, president, and chief executive officer at Spearmint Energy. While energy from the storage system can be quickly deployed to augment the grid in times of emergencies like natural disasters, BESS projects are also essential to the day-to-day functioning of any system that uses renewable energy sources that generate power intermittently, he told the Reporter-Telegram by email. The company is proud that Revolution was completed on schedule, within budget, and with zero accidents, he continued. Quote, we also look forward to the positive impact Revolution will have on ERCOT, LCRA's service territory, and Crane and Upton County by supporting the safe, reliable, and low-cost delivery of clean energy throughout West Texas, he wrote. Spearmint is in the process of acquiring and developing additional BESS projects in Texas and in other areas of the U.S. with a strong need for increased grid stability and with favorable development conditions from a geographical and regulatory standpoint, Warrench continued. Over the past decade, the materials and technology necessary for battery storage have become vastly cheaper and more efficient, according to Warrench. Quote, now that batteries are safe, reliable, economically viable in most places in the U.S., we believe the greatest impact on the volume and speed of development in the short term will come from changes to the regulatory environment, the increasing number of entities providing offtake, and the implementation of systems to reduce manufacturing and supply bottlenecks. Batteries are cheaper, faster, and more resilient than thermal power plants, he wrote. A workforce of 34 Mortenson Craft Team members and trade partners contributed approximately 42,000 working hours to install 134 battery containers containing 6,432 SunGrow battery modules, as well as 45 power conversion system, or PCS, units at Revolution. This past October, Spearmint announced the close of a $92 million tax equity investment in Revolution provided by Greenprint Capital Management, marking one of the first applications of the investment tax credit structure for a standalone battery energy storage system following the passing of the Inflation Reduction Act. Oil and natural gas output expected to fall, except in Permian Basin. The story was written by Miller McEwen, oil editor. U.S. crude oil and natural gas production are expected to decrease across the nation's lower 48 shale basins in February, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, except for the mighty Permian Basin, that is. According to the EIA's latest drilling productivity report, oil output from the Permian Basin is expected to rise 5,000 barrels per day from January to February. Output will be led by production from new wells, 418,000 barrels per day. That gain will offset a decline in production from legacy wells, which is forecast to fall 413,000 barrels a day. The EIA forecasts the Permian Basin will produce 5,974,000 barrels per day in February. Permian Basin natural gas production is predicted to rise 11,000 cubic feet per day. Output from new wells is expected to rise 777,000 cubic feet, offsetting the 655,000 cubic feet decline in output from legacy wells. According to the EIA, the Permian will produce 24,393,000 cubic feet per day in February. Quote, it is no surprise to our members and those living, working, raising families, and creating jobs here that the Permian Basin is America's oil field and is increasingly becoming the most important operating region in the free world, commented Ben Shepherd, president of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association. According to the EIA, about 6 million barrels of oil and nearly 25 billion cubic feet of natural gas is produced each day in the Permian Basin alone, he wrote in an email to the Reporter Telegram. The Texas Workforce Commission recently reported that more than 3,000 oil and gas jobs were created in December amid record oil and gas production in the Permian Basin of Texas and New Mexico, he continued. Ed Longenecker, president of the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, noted in an email to the Reporter Telegram that risk premium has been reduced with record levels of production in the Permian and plenty of spare capacity in OPEC+. Quote, China's lackluster recovery, uncertainty in the global economic outlook, coupled with rising geopolitical tensions, related supply chain disruptions are, in a sense, balancing our outlook, he wrote. Longenecker pointed out that the Permian Basin is responsible for 28% of U.S. barrels of oil equivalent production, and 71% of U.S. production is coming from Texas, and those barrels will continue to play a dominant role in meeting global demand this year. Quote, depending on how these factors play out, we may see a decline in other U.S. basins, as EIA suggests, but there are many potential scenarios to consider, as well as how short-sighted energy policy from Washington could impact domestic supply and exports, Longenecker concluded. Nationwide, the EIA says total monthly crude oil volumes are expected to drop by about 2,000 barrels a day from January to February. Railroad Commission issues framework for pilot programs to recycle produced water. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. As Permian Basin producers struggle with managing the massive volumes of water being produced alongside oil and natural gas, they're receiving some help from the Railroad Commission. The Commission has issued a framework for pilot programs to recycle produced water safely and economically, an effort that could greatly enhance environmental protection in Texas. The framework comes as companies and organizations like the Texas Produced Water Consortium at Texas Tech University complete their initial studies of recycling produced water and prepare to move to the pilot program phase. Quote, the Texas Produced Water Consortium applauds the Commission on the recent release of a framework for produced water recycling pilot studies. We believe this is exactly the type of progress the legislature envisioned when they created the consortium in 2021 to research the potential for beneficial use of treated produced water outside of the oil and gas industry, Rusty Smith, executive director of the Texas Produced Water Consortium, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Produced water is a byproduct of what comes to the surface during oil and gas production, and the produced water recycling framework will provide a regulatory program for operators to assess the effectiveness and the suitability of applying treated produced water for beneficial purposes. Quote, the Railroad Commission and Texas Commission on Environmental Quality have been working diligently along with numerous other state agencies and consortium members over the past few years to address challenges in both produced water management and state water resource adequacy, Smith continued. Operators will apply for authorization to conduct pilot studies, and the Railroad Commission will issue a permit or letter of authorization. They would compile data of how treated and produced water can be reused in certain activities that are safe and protective of human health and the environment. Ultimately, the potential exists to reduce the amount of produced water that gets injected back into the ground, which can help reduce incidents of seismicity, as well as developing a potential water source for above-ground use. The Commission will focus attention on the effectiveness of treatment technologies and examine proper methods for gathering, storing, treating, testing, and documenting how treated water quality evolves and is controlled in each pilot facility. Treated fluid will not be allowed to be discharged to surface water during the pilot studies. The produced water recycling framework is a starting point and will evolve over time in collaboration with the work of others, such as the academic community, consortia, industry, and community leaders. The information obtained by these pilot studies can be used to develop more focused regulation on produced water recycling and help guide future legislation. Smith wrote that the consortium recently released a request for proposals for its own pilot projects to analyze treated produced water in the Delaware and Midland basins. The projects are designed to work in conjunction with the Commission's new framework and will serve to more expeditiously progress its collective knowledge of treatment capabilities and regulatory needs regarding the use of treated produced water in an environmentally safe and economically viable manner, he wrote. Quote, programs like these show the continued commitment from stakeholders, state regulators, and policymakers to find fast, reliable, and meaningful solutions to our most pressing shared resource challenges, Smith concluded.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.